If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One thing I think most Bulls fans will agree on, the run of AK and Eversley has brought about a lot of what-ifs and wasted potential. In today's episode, we're going to talk about what some of that wasted potential and how the next era of the Chicago Bulls, the next years under this new contract, this front office can't have any more what-ifs. We're going to talk a little bit about that because we've got two questions from listeners, one in regards to the team without Josh Giddey and Kobe and Jamal Murray. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to talk about the G League and why more Bulls fans should be paying attention to the Windy City Bulls this season. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go and get into this content for today. And so one of the biggest things with this team and the current state that is in, and you know, when we talked yesterday about how the Chicago Bulls or what they can learn from the Detroit Pistons to rebuild, and one of the things that was sticking out in that is how they cleaned out the coaching staff, cleaned out the front office, and that front office had a new vision for this team. And that was one of the things that I talked about in why the Bulls can't really replicate what the Detroit Pistons did, at least not in that sense, because they've already locked in their front office. They locked in their head coach. And so therefore you're already starting off with not really starting off with a clear deck, right? So it leaves this taste in Bulls fans' mouth of doubt and concern because of what this front office has done. And really, when you look at it, over the course, like AK and Eversley, this whole phase of them so far is a lot of what ifs. It really is just a lot of what ifs. For example, let's even look at their first season here, right, in which they traded those assets for Nikola Vucevic. That alone brings about two big what ifs for this team. One, what if the Bulls had not made that trade for Nikola Vucevic? What if they had stayed on the path that they talked about when they wanted to come in here of building organically through the draft over time? And then they would have held on to those first round picks that they gave up to acquire Nikola Vucevic, one of those which became Franz Wagner. Now, I don't know if the Bulls would have necessarily drafted Franz Wagner, but you know, what if you would have had those picks and then held on to the young players that you had? And I've been on record, Wendell Carter is not better than Nikola Vucevic, not by any shape, form, or fashion. And because of that, it's not about the Wendell Carter part of it, but it is about the picks that did become the other players that they got with those draft picks. And then I skipped one. One of the biggest what-ifs are, what if this team did not take Patrick Williams? What if they would have taken a different player there? Now, that's a big woulda, coulda, shoulda, because a lot of, you know, that draft was looked out as a weaker draft or whatever it is, but that's one of the biggest what-ifs of all of this, is what if you would have went a different player with Patrick Williams? What if you would have went Tyrese Halliburton? What if you would have went Maxey? What if you would have gone a different player at that selection? But then outside of that, right, the trade for Nikola Vucevic, huge what if. Then you go in and you have a really active offseason after that, and you build a team that got itself up to over 40 wins, that was number one team in the Eastern Conference for a little while, and then there goes the next what if. What if Lonzo and Zach LaVine would have not went down in that game against the Golden State Warriors? What if that season would have looked like? What if with the subsequent offseasons had looked like if you weren't scrambling to try to figure out what you were going to do after Lonzo Ball went down to replace Lonzo, which it took you over two seasons to really come up with a firm plan at that point in time, right? And then, of course, the players that have gone and had success elsewhere, Daniel Gafford, Derrick Jones Jr., right? These are players that really stick out as players that this front office traded that have gone out and had success and been role players elsewhere, things like that. So it is a bunch of that. And that's what this team can no longer afford to do. You know, I talk a lot about how this front office has to get it right with their draft picks going forward. And they have to get it right with Modest and hope that Noah Essanay are the right guys to do that. That's another thing we talked about in comparison to Detroit Pistons rebuild versus, you know, the Chicago Bulls and where that. Not only did they hit on Cade Cunningham, but they also Jalen Duren, right? Who looks like he's going to be a pretty damn good pick for them, you know? And so they got those type of players in there and they made those type of decisions. Jaden Ivey, another young player that they're developing. And so the what ifs has to stop. And we have to start seeing a realization consistently that the decisions that you made have been the right ones. Now, some of those are going to take a while, right? It may take a year or two before we know exactly if Noah Essengay was the right pick there because of his of how young he is, how much he needs to develop, how much he can still learn, all those type of things play a part into that. Modest, based off 1 year, looks like he was the right pick there. But now how does he take his game and continue to evolve his game and evolve as a player is the next phase for Modest Bouzelis to really show who and what he is going to be, right? And so you have to have that development. When you are a good franchise over time, I want to be clear, every franchise has its what ifs, every single one. There's not a single franchise that hasn't missed on a draft pick, that hasn't missed on a free agent signing. No matter how good they are, they have had a miss or two in there. But the fact of the matter is, your hits have to outweigh your misses. And right now, the Chicago Bulls, the questions outweigh their hits. We still don't know exactly who Julian Phillips is. We don't know exactly who Dalen Terry is. And we're at the end of Dalen Terry's rookie scale extension. He's a restricted free agent at the end of the season, right? These are two picks that while, you know, Julian Phillips is a second round pick, and I have the mindset you can't miss on a second round pick. That's just my opinion. Most second round picks don't make the NBA. Either you get one that can turn into a rotational player or you don't. But the Dalen Terry one, that's another huge what if. What if that was Walker Kessler here? Who at the bare minimum, say what you will about Walker Kessler, but we do know that Walker Kessler is an NBA caliber center that can play and can be a starting caliber center in this league. We still don't know what Dalen Terry is. Dalen Terry still is more potential than anything we've seen realized yet. And that has been the ultimate thing of this front office. When you go through, one thing I always say about the Charlotte Hornets is that when you look at the number of first round picks that the Charlotte Hornets have missed on over the last 10 years, you could damn near build a championship team just off that, right? And so with the Bulls, not to say that it's at the same caliber to where you have necessarily a championship team based off your misses, but you do have kind of some questions, some answers to some of the questions you have right now. The center of the future question would be answered had we draft Walker Kessler. It would have. And the question then becomes is what will Walker Kessler have been good enough for whatever that team to avoid some of the things it went through, and that's a different question for another day. But you have to start hitting, and you have to start looking at something to where Bulls fans can look at where this team is and say, hey, at least we have this. This is somebody that we can build around. This is a player that we have. And hey, they may not, well, and that's the thing with Bulls fans, because as many Bulls fans talk about Walker Kessler, the way y'all talk about Coby White, Bulls fans would probably still be saying, oh, well, Walker isn't enough. We got to get rid of him. We need a guy that can average 20 and 10 and play perfect defense and guard Cooper Flagg. And like it's just some Bulls fans is always the glasses half full rather than anything positive. And you can never please those guys until you actually start winning. And that's just the nature of the NBA. Some fans will never see the vision until you start winning. And at that point, it's not about seeing the vision. You're seeing the realized actions of things. But nonetheless, this front office has to hit on more things. And we can't keep being the front office of what ifs. We can't keep being the front office of wasted potential. We can't keep being the front office of, hey, what if this would have broken right for us? Because it didn't. The reason why so many fans are still caught up in what a different team could be is because what you have now and you're giving us is not something that fans believe in easily. It's not something that has been as easily tangible and that looks like it's going to be winning consistently. And that's why you have the doubts. Faith in a front office comes through the repetition, and it comes through success. And it comes through having, again, more hits than misses or questions. And I would even say this, if you had still misses, but your ratio of hits was higher, and then the questions started turning into answers, then you can build more faith. But right now, the Chicago Bulls just have not built that. We don't have that. And unfortunately, that's what has left this franchise at the place that it's in. And hopefully that this could be something that can start. Like, again, Coby White coming into the season, being the number one scoring option. Josh Giddey once he re-signs being your playmaker and the engine of your offense, all those type of things. Hopefully this starts getting something to where it can start building some faith in Bulls fans. Modis is a step in the right direction. Now, if he does have a sophomore slump, which is possible, I can't wait to see how Bulls fans turn on him, but we'll cross that bridge once we get to it. But this front office has to get to the place of the what-ifs have to stop and the realization has to start. Hopefully we started seeing that last season with Modis Bouzelis, and hopefully he continues here with the Chicago Bulls. But moving on from that, I got a couple of messages here that I want to get into. So we're going to do it. It's not necessarily a mailbag. We're going to do a little differently than a mailbag. But this first one, this one came from Dan.
But anyway, I want to ask you, if you could cover on one of your upcoming episodes, you could touch on, and hopefully I didn't miss it, how would the Bulls look, in your opinion? How would they look without Josh Giddey on the roster for this upcoming season? What will be the rotation? In your opinion, what will be the rotation of how would the lineup look? Just real quick, in my opinion, if Josh Giddey isn't on the roster, I'd probably leave Kobe at two. Just because too many turnovers. Way too many turnovers when he runs the point guard position, and he's not a good facilitator to me. You know. He just fits better as a two guard. That's his niche. Yeah. Let me know what you think about that, and hopefully you can touch on that on one of your upcoming episodes.
I think this is a really great question. What would happen? How would things change if the Bulls do not bring back Josh Giddey? And the fact of the matter is that it changes quite a bit, actually. And not to say that the end-all, be-all is Josh Giddey, because, again, I don't think the Bulls have shown to have that player yet on this roster. But I will say,
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This, what the Bulls established last year as far as a play style, getting out in transition, moving the ball around, Josh Giddey was hugely important to that. And while a lot of people talk about the start of Josh Giddey's season and when the scoring numbers weren't good and he was getting benched early into the season, one thing people forget is that Zach LaVine was on pace to have one of his most assisted seasons in the NBA when he was on the court with Josh Giddey. Nikola Vucevic was Josh Giddey's favorite target and his highest assisted player on the Chicago Bulls. Josh Giddey was still organizing the offense pretty well. His scoring just came on later on. So this thought process that people present like, oh, Josh Giddey only played good. Nah, he only scored well to end the season. And a lot of the things that he did well still early in, he was doing early in the season. And you got to keep in mind, that was a team with Zach LaVine there that you had Zach LaVine, Kobe White, Nikola Vucevic, three other players that are all on ball. They're best when they're on ball. And Josh Giddey had to figure things out. Now, it's a little bit different than OKC because he was still able to play actual point guard. But that's what goes into it. If Josh Giddey's not on this team, it means that you're either going back to the Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu backcourt, or you're going to try the Trey Jones, Kobe White backcourt. Now, the Kobe White and Trey Jones minutes were decent, but that leaves you as a kind of smaller backcourt. While Trey Jones is a decent positional defender, he's not Josh Giddey. But one of the things that Trey Jones does do is he's a really good setup man. On the four assists that he had, he averaged over 10.5 points created. Now, Josh Giddey had over 17.5 points created, so almost double what Trey Jones had. But you can do some of the similar things. The question that would that become is that if the Bulls do not somehow retain Josh Giddey and he comes back, to me that then puts Modis Bouzelis in a place where we've talked about his point forward ability, we've talked about his playmaking ability and how we want to eventually see that grow. I think the Bulls would have to jumpstart that a little bit if Modis Bouzelis does not return, meaning that they would have to look at Modis and then they'd have to bring in or use his playmaking a little bit more. That could free you up to play Kobe at the point and Ayo at the two if you do that. I know you say keep Ayo at the two, but you can use him as more of a Jamal Murray-ish type point guard if you do go to Modis Bouzelis and relying on his point forward ability a little bit more. So you have that aspect to go down on. But there's no doubt that the Bulls can try to keep up a style, and they could the style of fast pace and all those type of things. They can still do that relatively well. It would just have to change how they get into those actions, and that's the biggest part there. Josh Giddey's rebounding, his playmaking, his ability to create open shots, all those type of things. Notice I didn't even get into scoring that he had at the end of the season because, again, we got to see how consistent that's going to be, but I do think you can easily probably pencil in Josh Giddey for about 15 or 16 points per game next season with how the roster is shaped up now. So you have to replace that production as well. So that's the thing that goes into it. And, you know, I think that's a big part that changes. The Bulls may then be more apt and open to actually finding a point guard, maybe one that fits more naturally with Coby White. Or like I said, they can go back to the Coby and Io backcourt that, you know, in its moments the season before in the 2023-24 season actually finished the season pretty strong and looked like a backcourt that maybe you could say, all right, this could be your backcourt that you can work with. It restricts what you have to do around them, but it could be that. I think you may go back to that plan if that's the case. And that puts the negotiation with Coby White at even more of a forefront, because I don't think the Bulls would want to lose Coby White and Josh Giddey back-to-back off seasons, even though there are some Bulls fans that would actually like to see that happen. We call those people weirdos. So that's what I think would happen there if they move on. And great question, though, Deanna. Great question. Now, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from the 470.
Yo, what's up, Shot Boy? Shot Boy Podcast. I was calling because I wanted to check out. I remember you and Pat was talking about a Bulls subscription, and I forgot what y'all called it. I wanted to check in on you and see what that subscription was called. I was trying to get a jersey, but they said that I can get more with the subscription, and it's going to keep sending me stuff. So remind me what that subscription was again. And I had a question about, who do you think is a better player right now, Jamal Murray in his prime or not, or Coby White? And who do you think Coby is now game compared to? And who does his college game look like or remind you of? I bring up Murray because I think Coby's college game would be like a Jamal Murray in a bubble. And I always say what separates good players from great players is consistency. And I think that's what Coby needs for him to reach his next tier. Mixed with a little bit of green light stuff, Curry, you know. I think that's what the fans really want to see from Coby. But just a fun thought, thinking about the Bulls' potential. Also, I just want to point out that I was one of the first ones to call out Josh Giddey being a bad teammate. But I was there and I crucified for saying it too soon. You said no man is wrong for trying to get his cheese. I agree. Hopefully his teammates do as well. But luckily, I don't think his fans will affect his team chemistry. Because this is a big year for down at the whole team. And I doubt they're going to prioritize this at points, for real. But I don't think it's going to be that important for them. But with Monsters Express saying he going to get a deal done, that had me thinking, like, why didn't he reach out to the Bulls? And does this affect Giddey, because why he still ain't signed in September? So that's what I was thinking about. If the Bulls really send their Monsters as their future, is that something we should look at? Because if you got the person you sitting on your team around asking you to sign this player or get something done on social media, so both sides can see it. But I just find it weird how he didn't act the Bulls, but he's going to act Josh Giddey. But I don't know. Is there something there? I don't know. What you think? But I feel like if your star and he asking you to sign this guy, and y'all not trying to do nothing, I don't know. What do I know? But on the past episode, you had brought up the best thing T-Will has to offer. That's kind of tough, but I think if he can offer anything, it's just a different defensive look. Like, say, for example, we got someone like Ayo.
Who's better, Coby White or Jamal Murray? I mean, I think you got to say Jamal Murray right now because of the consistency. Coby hasn't done it consistency at the level that Jamal Murray has. Now, Jamal Murray has had injuries. He's had all those type of things. He's even had some moments where he's either had some bad playoff series or bad stretches or whatever else every player does. But I think at this point right now, Coby would have to finish this season and be consistently what he was last season or more before I'm willing and ready to put him in that type of category. But you're right, and that's the type of guard that he is. Now, I think that Coby's no longer playing point guard. He's playing shooting guard, which some of the lack of assist things and those type of things play into that, and that's perfectly fine. But you know, we'll see what's there. Now, as far as the Josh Giddey bad teammate thing, I don't think you can call Josh Giddey a bad teammate because of the contract thing. I don't think that makes him a bad teammate. You know, you need to take care of yourself. It's not just about that. You also got to think about the family, even though he doesn't have one now, but in the future, you got to think about that, those type of things. So I don't think that makes Josh Giddey a bad teammate. I don't think this contract thing has stopped Josh Giddey from being a bad, or has made Josh Giddey a bad teammate at all. I don't think that's really kind of a good place to go with that. I just don't agree with it. Now, I'm sure there are some people that do agree with you there, and you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I'm just saying, for me, I don't look at that as being a bad teammate at all, to be 100% honest with you. Now, as far as Modest, I don't think Modest has that type of power in the Bulls organization. Like, yeah, they could see, or they could want, or they see a future in which Modest turns into their star, but he's not there yet. He's in his second year. And like I've said many times before in other episodes, that I think sometimes us as Bulls fans, we have the habit of seeing Modest as who we can see him becoming, and we act like he's that now. He's not, and he doesn't really have control. He's a second-year player that the team hasn't accomplished. Now, it would be different if he, like, led the team in his rookie year to the playoffs or deep playoff run. He hasn't done that. Like, so I don't think that Josh Giddey has that type of pull in the Bulls organization, not as of yet. Will that come with time? Maybe, right? And that goes to how he grows, how he succeeds, how the Bulls grow with him being on their team. Those are all things that play into that, but we can't say that he's there yet, and I think that's the part into it that we got to kind of wait on, and we'll see how that grows and develops over that time. But thank you guys for leaving those voicemails and messages. Let's get into the last topic for today. So the Windy City Bulls schedule came out, and I'm not going to go over the schedule because I know not everybody is like hugely involved in the Windy City Bulls like that. But I do want to say this is a season where the Windy City Bulls are, and you know, I do it every single year. So I it's not one year or not for me, but with Lachlan Albrecht and Noah Essengay, probably slated to put some time down there in the G. I think that it is time to like watch some of those games. It's what, 44 games, I think, for the G League over that time period. And it's fun. Like I tell you guys this all the time. You guys know during the season, I do weekly G League update episodes where I'll talk about the performances of the players that matter down there in the G League. But I can't stress enough, even if it's just because they're all on NBA League Pass, even if it's just, and some of them even go up on the Windy City Bulls YouTube page. Even if you're just like sitting around wanting to watch some basketball, go and watch it, man. I think that it's really good when you look at, when it comes down to it, like Lachlan Albrecht, Noah Essengay, watching these guys be able to grow and develop. Yuki Kawamura is going to be a fan favorite, and he's a reason to make that Windy City Bulls team really exciting when it all comes down to that one. I think that this is going to be one of the seasons where the G League is actually not only fun to watch the Windy City Bulls, but there actually are players that could develop and are going to be important to the development future. Like when Lachlan Albrecht was drafted, I literally said, hey, like, I don't know what he's going to be. But then watching him in summer league, I'm like, hey, no, I can actually see this guy maybe turning into a rotational player. I'm not saying that he's going to turn into some starter level player for you, but I can see the future of him being a rotational player. So maybe look out for that one, right? So I think when you watch it, the G League starts November 8th. This is the first game. Check it out. We'll be covering it here at Chicago Bulls Central, and that's really all I can say about that. But that's my time for today, guys. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.